Good morning and welcome to worship on this second Sunday after Epiphany. A special welcome to those who are worshiping with us from home, and also to Bill and Jenny Segrin, who are home from serving as missionaries. We'll be hearing from them later in the service today, but I want to welcome them home and remind you that Jenny is the daughter of Mike and Gwen Acker. And so, again, welcome to worship to all of us. And now I invite you, all who are able, to stand and face the baptismal font. As we gather today and give thanks to God for our baptism, I want to remind you that the font is at the entrance to remind us of our entry into the family of God. When we are baptized into Christ, we are baptized into this community, or a community. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light and our salvation. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed in God's mercy and forgiveness. And so let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word you claim us as your beloved children, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life. And above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Holy God, our strength and our Redeemer, by your Spirit hold us forever, that through your grace we may worship you and faithfully serve you, follow you, and joyfully find you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
first reading is from Isaiah 49. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God. And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves, because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. The word of the Lord. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that has been given to you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to John, the first chapter. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him. But I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. I invite you to be seated. The brightest star in history loves prophecy and mystery. Oh, hear the angel's voice on the wind. All glory in the highest are born today, Messiah. Let the signs and the wonders begin. These words are the musical refrain of a Christmas song. Christmas goes too fast, so bear with me. But when I first heard it, I thought that it was an elusive contemporary Epiphany song. It forms a lovely liturgical bridge between the seasons because despite the wondrous miracles of the Christmas season, Epiphany and the season following also invite us deeper into the theme of signs and wonders. When we sing, "Let the signs and the wonders begin," that word, "begin," becomes the launching pad for the whole life and implication of Christ Jesus. Pastor Ben spoke with us last week about righteousness as a word that signals proper alignment, that the righteousness of God will be the ultimate example of setting aright something that has fallen out of alignment. Sin as a universal condition of bondage that puts us out of alignment with God must be taken away for the relationship for the Creator and the creation to be set aright. And indeed, for humanity, the pervasive reality of sin dominates and defines life. This ranges from the overtly or explicitly evil and painful things that flood our news headlines and our shared history, to the small, normal, insidious ways that things like exhaustion, stress, loneliness, or despair begin to creep toward crescendos that leave us little more than zombies stumbling through our days. Maybe we're just tired of the gray skies, or maybe the Christmas season wore you out. Maybe you're in the midst of processing the suffering of loss. Perhaps you're anxious that the new year has not started with quite the bang you were hoping for. And in today's reading, we hear Mason share with us the words of the prophets. "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and for vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, my reward with my God." A sense of futility is one of sin's favorite tricks, I think. Maybe right up there with the overwhelming experience of despair. My family is German Lutherans, and you know how Germans love suffering. They have a literal word for a mood of weariness or sadness about life arising from the acute awareness of evil and suffering. Ah, that's real. Weltschmerz literally means world pain. I promise you that we're not going to do this for the whole sermon, but I need today's gospel to pop for what it really is. Look, I don't know if you've noticed, but every time we encounter John the Baptist in Scripture, he is on fire. Maybe a little bit like our chorale this morning. And today is no exception. We read this morning, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." As we've said, Epiphany is a season of signs and wonders, so don't be pushed into complacency by the green today, huh? This is still a story of signs and wonders. And what is the sign that John sees that this Jesus is the one who will set the world aright once more? John testifies, "I saw the Spirit descending like a dove, and it remained on him." Ah, the Spirit. This sign makes it hard for me not to recall the Spirit of God hovering, fluttering above the waters before creation, as we remembered in our affirmation of baptism. The breath of God entering the nostrils of the very first earth creature, sculpted by God's very hand from the clay of the earth. And while these stories would have been familiar to our gospel writer, we also know that he had a firm foundation in the prophets as well. And the significance of the Spirit in the tradition of the prophets was one of life, yes, but very frequently of new life, of new creation, of resurrection life. Take, for example, one of the most evocative and gorgeous texts of Scripture, Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones. Any dry bones out there with us this morning? There's a reason this story is so evocative for us, and the promise of this prophecy is part of what makes it beautiful. The Spirit of the Lord leads Ezekiel to the Valley of Dry Bones, saying, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." John the Baptist, himself a prophet, cries, "Here is the Lamb of God, who comes to take the sin of the world. Here is the one in whom the Spirit, the breath of life, on whom has descended and in whom remains. Here is the first fruit of a new creation. Here is one who breathes upon the walking slain, that they may live. Here is the one who will teach, who will heal, who will bless. Here is the one who will die and rise again." And just as the Spirit remains in Jesus, so too does Jesus give his followers abundant reassurance and promise throughout this gospel that he also remains in them. We who follow Jesus are inheritors of this indwelling, branches on a living vine, fed and nourished with vital energy of life in the face of death. Hildegard of Bingen has a beautiful word for this idea, viriditas. A bright, greening, generative, fertile energy that enables life. We are, in Paul's words to the Corinthians today, in every way enriched in Christ Jesus, so that we are not lacking in any spiritual gift as we wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are inheritors of this new life, siblings in Christ, but this flowing Spirit of new creation is all-encompassing, global, cosmic. As we hear God speak in our Isaiah passage, "I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let us not make the mistake of resigning this to a past tense statement. It is a present day declaration. Jesus Christ is taking away the sin of the world daily, in every moment, in every breath, in every life, transforming the world and everything in it to the end of the earth. The signs and the wonders are not resigned to the days of old, but today's stars, today's wind and fire, today's dreamers, today's bread and wine. Good Christian friends, sometimes we forget. These old dry bones of ours, we can be fooled by the scarcity model of our own distraction, our grief, our insecurities, our Weltschmerz. We can lose sight of why we are here in this Jesus-following community this morning. Beloved theologian Richard Rohr puts his grief this way: we made Jesus into a mere religion instead of a journey toward union with God and everything else. The shift made us into a religion of belonging and believing instead of a religion of transformation. Rohr is very popular, but I'm going to allow myself permission to amend his wisdom. Myself, I wouldn't put it quite this way, because of course what we believe often forms the framework for how we interpret, define, and engage reality. And the experience of belonging is a crucial foundation for what allows us to feel safe enough to take bold risks in the world and do radical things we might not otherwise have done. We associate believing and belonging with the Christian community because humans are seeking these things constantly. And as a faith community, we hope you'll find them here. But while believing fuels our fire, and while belonging is the premise of the body of Christ, these things are not our purpose. And I do agree with Rohr that belonging and believing should not eclipse the reality that the journey of following Jesus makes us a people of transformation. God is inspiring the world through Christ Jesus, and Christ abides in us, and we in him. Like a fresh wind from heaven, the angel's voice on the wind, the brightness of the star, and the power of Pentecost, that vitalizing spirit hearkens new creation. When I finally stop talking, we are going to sing a hymn together. We start with song, and we will continue in song. And as we do, I invite you to pray the verbs we sing. Listen to the prayer that we sing together, and hear that it is transformation we ask for. Make us light for the world to see. Make us your living voice. Make us your bread broken for others. Let us be servants of one another, signs of your kingdom come. We are the people of Christ Jesus, a people transformed and transforming. Let the signs and the wonders continue. Amen.
the whole church, let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate into the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. As a community gathered into one by the Holy Spirit and called to follow Jesus, by letting the light of Christ shine through us, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Continue to inspire and equip your church to bear witness to your redeeming work in the world. Inspire the baptized to tell of your faithfulness and share the good news of your salvation throughout the earth. Today we give you thanks, O God, for the faithful witness of missionaries, and especially for Jenny and Bill Segrin. God of mercy, hear our prayer. The waters of baptism call us into life in the Spirit. As we steward your creation, help us to preserve the world's waters by protecting them from pollution and caring for all living things that depend on them. Guide us in responding to devastating floods as well as places affected by drought. God of mercy, hear our prayer. In Christ, you are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Show your mercy to all nations. Direct world leaders to do your will. Fill governing bodies with righteousness. Equip judges with discernment and compassion. And help all who work for justice and peace throughout the world. God of mercy, hear our prayer. You incline your ear to all who cry to you. Draw near to individuals and communities suffering violence, injustice, illness, or poverty. Hide them in the shadow of your hand and make us signs of your faithfulness to all in need. Today especially we remember before you Betsy Berg, Chuck Dietz, James Pontus, Marnie Reimuth, Gretchen Seamus, and Marilyn Tollefson. God of mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks for the faithful witness of Martin Luther King Jr., and we ask that you give us a spirit of boldness and courage to continue striving for racial justice and equality for all people. Strengthen us as we wait for the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, and be with all who grieve, especially Dan Buckwalter at the death of his brother Michael, and Judy Van Schulten at the unexpected death of her husband John. God of mercy, hear our prayer. We bring to you our needs and hopes, O God, trusting your wisdom and power has been revealed to us in Christ's death and resurrection, and will continue to be revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
Let us pray. Creator God, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Bless these gifts for the sake of him who offers himself to us through this simple meal of bread and wine. Strengthen us through this meal in faith towards you and in fervent love for one another. We ask this through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart. Give thanks to our Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and at all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord. Sharing our life, he lived among us to reveal your glory and love, that our darkness should give way to his own brilliant light. And so, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his holy supper. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. For distribution this morning, we'll invite you to come forward up the center aisle, receive the bread in the form of a wafer, and then dip it in the cup. The cup has red wine or white grape juice. All are welcome at the Lord's table. Come, for all has been prepared. Now, may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Holy One, we thank you for the healing that springs forth abundantly from this table. Renew our strength to do justice, love kindness, and journey humbly with you. Amen. A few announcements of our life together this week. First, as you see in the back of your bulletin, there's several different things. First, mark your calendar. January 29th, between services, is our semi-annual meeting. Please plan to be there. Together Tuesdays continue, a meal at 5:15, and then various classes at 6. You further see a notice there if any of you would like to know more about the Lutheran Church and teachings, whether you're new or old to Lutheranism, or simply how to engage more fully in our congregation, in our world, please feel free to talk to myself or Pastor Lori. Also, you heard in the prayers that John Van Schulten died this past week. His services are pending. So watch for more information on that. And then directly after service today, we have the gift of Jenny and Bill Segrin, who are going to speak to us for the adult forum time. And children meet in the Godly Playroom with Pastor Lori and David. And now I'd like to invite forward Jenny and Bill to share a little bit about their experience. And we're so glad to have you with us.
Hello. It's wonderful to be with you this morning. We're Bill and Jenny Segrin, although I grew up in this church as Jenny Acker. Moved here with my family in fourth grade in the mid-1970s and have wonderful memories of Sunday school and vacation Bible school, of being confirmed in this church, of being a part of children's choir and the youth group, and then in college as I went to the University of Oregon, being a worship leader, being a head resident at Christus House, and also spending 3 summers as a camp counselor at Camp Lutherwood. And a little bit of time in the adult choir, too. It was so much fun to listen to you this morning. So beautiful. Thank you for that. This was the place where my faith development really took fire in my heart. I remember a really special moment at communion, kneeling at the altar there and experiencing God touch me in a way that really impacted me transformationally, I would say. And I'm thankful for the time I spent here. There were those 3 summers at Camp Lutherwood, however, one of those summers, a United Methodist pastor showed up. He was 9 years older than me, and we met each other, and kind of the rest is history. We got married here at Central in 1988, and for 29 years after that, was with him, with Bill, serving in small United Methodist churches in the Willamette Valley, in Dallas, Oregon, and then Caris and Markham, Oregon, and then for 17 years in Philomath. And he'll go from there.
About 8 years ago, we opened ourselves up for a change in our lives. We were desiring to engage with people outside the church. After 3 years of exploration and prayer, we went to Prague in the Czech Republic for 5 years under the supervision of United World Mission. The Czech Republic is one of the most non-religious countries in the world and has less than 1% Protestant believers. We taught English conversation at the language center at the local university. Our focus was to help the students gain confidence in speaking English in public, but from the first day of class, they knew we were Christians and we were open to having conversation about the Christian faith. Many of our students had never known a Christian.
But six months before we went to Prague, my mom invited me on a Central Lutheran Church women's retreat. And I had a lovely weekend with some of the ladies from this church and with my mom. And during that time, Gretchen Seamus, who we prayed for today in the prayer, she asked a lot of questions. She was very curious about what we were going to do, very interested. It was a great conversation. And at the end of the weekend, she encouraged me to apply to the Central Lutheran Foundation for some of the funding for our ministry in Prague. And so I went ahead and did that. And Central Lutheran Church has very graciously and generously supported us during the 5 years that we were in Prague. And that's really why we're here today, is that we're wanting to say thank you to you.
Yes, thank you all so much for your support. We had to leave Prague after 5 years for at least 6 months due to government regulations. So about a year and a half ago, we started a prayer discernment process that led us into a new role with our mission organization. We are now the pastoral care couple providing pastoral care for all of the United World Missions European missionaries. We provide care online 8 to 10 months a year, and then we will travel to see missionaries in their home settings in Europe for 2 to 4 months a year.
And if you're curious, we do welcome you to the Adult Education Hour. We're going to share more of our experiences there, and then enjoy conversation and any questions you might have. But for now, we're just going to close with one story and one thing that we learned during our time serving in Prague.
Jenny and I were headed to our every other year gathering of all United World Mission European missionaries. That this time the retreat was in Slovenia, and so we traveled with our younger teammates Vasek and Megan. Vasek is Czech. The plan was to take the train to Vasek's parents' house and borrow his dad's car to drive through Austria and down to Slovenia. While on the train for the 2.5-hour trip, I realized that I didn't have my passport. At the next stop, I got off and bought a ticket back to Prague for the 1-hour trip to Prague, as the rest of them headed on to Vasek's parents' house. I went back to the apartment, and there was my passport right on the middle of my desk, sitting in plain sight. Now, that is a strange thing, because I don't do things like that very often. I check and recheck and recheck when I am going to the airport or elsewhere for my passport to make sure I have it. But I went back to the train station to rejoin Jenny. There were two legs of the train trip to get to where they were, and I had to change trains to a small commuter train in Olomouc for the last 20 minutes of the trip. It was dark. After 10 o'clock, everything was in check, and I was tired. But I got on the train that was my best guess. And on that train, there was only one other person in the whole car. And it was a man in his 30s, and he was kind of unique because he was standing with a shovel. I got out my ticket, I approached him, and showed him my ticket and pointed to my destination. And he spoke back in fairly good English. I was on the right train. About a minute of talking, he asked me, he said, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes." And he told me a part of his story. Just a few months before that, he had been listening to a YouTube interview. And while listening to it, he gave his life to Christ. And he was looking for other Christians to share life with. He lived in Prague, and I invited him to our church, and we began to meet for Bible study every week. And we still talk every week. In fact, we talked on Friday, and he was preparing on Friday to speak in his own church at his pastor's request about some of the things he was growing in his walk with Christ.
And by the way, the shovel was because he was going to a little cabin in the woods where he had a garden he was going to be working on. But it was a little odd for Bill. So as I was talking with Pastor Lori and Pastor Ben this week, they shared with me that a theme that Central is focusing on as you're starting to move forward together as the pandemic hopefully is winding down is that of reengaging with God's grace in three areas: in that of our individual lives, as a church in community with each other, and as you engage with the broader community around you. And we talked on the phone about the fact that that third one for most of us is the harder one to figure out how to live our faith in context of the community around us in a way that does not feel intimidating and is meaningful. And so the story of how Bill met his friend Andre and many other experiences that we had while we were in the Czech Republic taught us that God is always at work extending his love and grace to us and to the people around us. And for me, becoming more aware of this really removed the pressure of trying to awkwardly make something happen because I was a missionary, but rather that I was freed to just look for God where God was at work and where God was inviting me and just join God there. It's God's work to touch people's lives. It's our privilege to witness what God's doing and just to join him. And that's what happened for Bill with Andre. That's what happened with us with a lot of people we engaged with. That took the pressure off and made engaging with others an adventure rather than an intimidating chore. So that's just a little bit of our story. But most of all, we just wanted to take a moment in the service to thank you so much for your generous support over the last 5 years. So thank you.
And thank you, Bill and Jenny. And if you'd like to hear more, directly after service during the adult education hour. Now I invite all who are able to rise for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Share the light of Christ. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.